Okay, good vach everybody. Today's daf is Sukkah daf Lamed Ches, and again we're here at the bottom of Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. Pretty halachic daf today as well. So it's something again we're not going to cover. We're going to cover in daf Yomi Limud, but definitely something to come back to. We have talking about the wavings and the nanuim that we use with the lulav. We're going to talk about Shomei Ka'ona. So definitely a daf to chazer up and delve a little bit deeper. Either way, we're here at the bottom of Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. Two lines up. I'm Rabbi Yossi Bar Alvin. So what we've been saying, what we said at the end of yesterday is as follows. The Mishnah talked about the nanuim, the waving of the lulav. We had a machlokes as to what the point of that is. If you remember, Rabbi Yochanan says that we're waving it in all four directions to show, right, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls, right, all four winds, quote unquote, all four directions. Kosh Baruch Hu controls the entire world, and in Bar Rava and Eretz Yisrael, right. So they said that that is the Nanuim have a purpose in that they kind of hold off and they kind of guard against either bad winds or bad dew, bad tal, because of the directions that we wave the lulav in, right, a little bit more perhaps spiritual, esoteric, whatever you want to call it. So I'm Rabbi Yossi Bar Avin, V'yitim Rabbi Yossi Bar Zvila. Zos Omeres, meaning if you're telling me that the waving of the nanuim of the lulav has to do with the harmful winds and the harmful tal, so apparently you see that Shiari HaMitzvah Ma'akvin is a Puranos, that even secondary parts of mitzvos, right, have a spiritual koach, right, a very beautiful lesson, have a spiritual ability to kind of ward off puranos, to ward off bad things, right? Because it says shari tenufa shari mitzvah, because the waving is not the intrinsic part of the mitzvah lulav, right? We're going to see make the agbe nafik bay when you pick up the lulav and the esrog and the four minim, so that you've already done the mitzvah, right? The waving is secondary, but you see the otzeres ruchos v'talu limroim, right? But it still can help, right, kind of ward off these bad winds and the bad dew. So that's, again, you see that the beautiful Musar Haskel, right, that even the secondary, even the small details of the mitzvos, right, even if it's not the main part, right, they still have in tremendous value. Okay, so now, I actually should have pointed out that that's not actually what we jumped off the discussion at the end of yesterday. I failed to mention that that was talking about the waving of the Shtei Lechem, and the kvasim and the korban that they would bring on Shavuos, shtei lechem, right? They would bring shtei lechem on Shavuos with a couple of sheep. And we said yesterday, right, that the waving that we've been talking up until now, right, is about that, right? We Mehari Bana Beis Hamikdash. Unfortunately, when we think of waving things, right, we think of Nanuim, we think of the Lulav and Esrog. But really, there are other halachos, mostly related to the Beis Hamikdash, right? Other korbanos that you would wave. And this whole discussion has been the Shtei Lechem. Now, finally, again, as I said, I misspoke before. Now, V'amar Rava V'chein B'lulav. So too, Rava says that this is also what we do with the lulav. And from here, this is where the Rishonim kind of jump off on, right, the different minhagim, how to wave it. But this is, as Rava says, this statement over here tells us that we wave the lulav just like you would wave the Shtei Lechem. Ravacha Bar Yaakov, Mamtilei, Umaisilei. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, interesting, would say he would take the lulav, bring it out, umaisile, and bring it in. And he would say, and Amar, din gira be'eni desitna. This should be an arrow, right, in the eyes of the sultan. So if you can imagine, again, he's kind of like pulling a bow and arrow, right, it would be that type of motion. Not that he would take the esrog and lulav separately, but like holding it out and pulling it towards him, right, that would be... That's what he was going for. And the Gemara says, V'lav milsi, but it's not something that we should do, because Mishum Da'asi L'Gurebe, because you don't want to provoke him. Right? You're playing with fire over here, right? You're going to say that this mitzvah that I'm fulfilling should be an arrow in the sun in the Yetzirah's eyes. Let's leave the sun in the Yetzirah out of this, all right, shall we? Right? We don't want him to step up his efforts against us. So we don't want to, kind of step up, show it and stick it in his face, right, and be overt about... that type of stuff. Okay. Mishabab Adarech Velo Haya Biyadu Lulav Lito. Let's say a person is traveling, did not have a lulav. When he gets home, so Yito Al Shulchano, he should take it on his table. That's not literal. Obviously, it doesn't mean take it on his table. You should take it, what the Gemara is going to explain in a second, is that even if you're in the middle of a meal and you realize, oh, I forgot to do Lulav and Esrog, So you should take it even in the middle of your meal. Lo natal shachar zito bin arvayim. If you didn't take it in the morning, you take it in the afternoon. Shekol yom kasher lulav. And if for whatever reason you forgot, you weren't able to, you didn't have one, right? You can take it all day, right? The mitzvah lulav and esrog is all day. So it says Gemara Amarta notlo al shulchano. Right? We pointed out, right? You should take it on your table, right? Meaning instead of you should stop your what you're doing. The memra the mafzik. That seems to imply that you should stop your meal. Right, to do the mitzvah of lulav and esrog. Or minhu, hold on 1 second, I'll bring you a mishnah. The mishnah at the beginning of Shabbos, imitchilu, if they began, imafzikin, they don't finish. What's going on over here? So if you remember, right there, the mishnah talks about all these different types of things you're not allowed to do before mincha. Or as the time to daven mincha comes close, has a whole bunch of a whole list of things. But the Mishnah says imid chilu, right? Again, one of those things is a meal, right? Is eating a meal. And so the Gemara says, though, the Mishnah says, though, if you did start, say imav zikin, right? You shouldn't stop, right? Here, this Mishnah seems to imply that if you started a meal, you should stop to do the mitzvah lulav. So Gemara says, Amar Rav Zafra. Rav Zafra says, lo kasha hadika shus b'yom, hadalaka shus b'yom. It depends how much time you have left, right? If you have time to finish the meal and then do mincha like we said before, right? So then you should do that. But if you don't have enough time, so then you shouldn't. Then you do have to stop your meal. So that's the difference between the Mishnah. So over there in Shabbos you have plenty of time, so you can finish your meal and then do mincha. Over here we're talking with by a case where you're holding up towards the end of the day, and if you finish your meal it'll be after sundown. So you should stop your meal and take the mitzvah lulav before you miss it. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava. Rava says, my kushya, what are you talking about? What's the problem over here? Dilma hadar is vader rabbanan. The Gemara says, I'll give you a better difference between that Mishnah and this Mishnah. That Mishnah is talking about davening. This Mishnah is talking about lulav. Right? That's a din daraisa. If it's a din daraisa, you got to stop your meal. If it's din darabanan, it's okay, so you can wait until you finish your meal. So Allah Amar Rava. So Rava says, no, ikasha hakasha. If there was really a problem from that Mishnah, right? So this is the prasha. This is the problem. Like she cut into the beso. I mean, sorry, it wasn't a problem for that Mishnah. This Mishnah itself is inherently problematic because the Mishnah says that she cut into the beso when you come home. No tlo al shulchano. You should take it right on your table. Meaning you should stop your meal. Al mab demavsek. Apparently you should stop your meal. The hadin tani. Then the Mishnah says lo natal shachas yitol ben arbayim. If you didn't take the lulav in the morning, take it in the afternoon, implying alma lo mavsek, that you don't have to stop. Which is it? Right? Do you have to stop the moment you realize you didn't do the mitzvah? Or, if you didn't take it in the morning, you come home, you have lunch, you take it in the afternoon, it's not a big deal. So what's the deal? So Rav Safra, said, lo kasha, hadika shus b'yom, hadalaka shus b'yom. And that's when Rav Safra said, it depends on what time of day it is. If it's towards the end of the day, so then you got to stop. If it's in the morning, so as the Mishnah points out, right, you have more time in the afternoon to take the lulav. Rav Zera said, again, my kusha, I understand your problem. Dilma, mitzvah, lav suke. Maybe the mitzvah is to stop. Right? The ilo pasik yitol ben arbayim. Shekol yom kasher lulav. Maybe what the Mishnah means is simply that the mitzvah is to stop. Really, you should stop your meal and take the lulav. But if you didn't, so then you can take it all day. And it's not telling you, right, depending on what time of day it is. No, it's telling you what the best practice is. And if you don't do the best practice, right, so then you can still have all day to do the mitzvah. So Alam Rabbi Zera, Rabbi Zera says Lolam Kedamrina. So let's go back to originally what we said. Really, that Kedamrina Meikara. Right, the original question. What did we say? We had the original thing we said is that there's a stira between our Mishnah and the Mishnah beginning of Shabbos. Our Mishnah says that if you come home without having done lulav, you should stop your meal. The Mishnah in Shabbos says if you started your meal, you shouldn't stop. The Kashalacha, didn't you just point out? Didn't we point out at the beginning, Hadaraisa, Hadarabanan, that our Mishnah is talking about Adin Daraisa, and the Mishnah over there is talking about Adin Darabanan? So maybe that's why you have to stop in our Mishnah, and by over there you can continue. So Kumar says, no. Our Mishnah, according to Rabbi Zeira, our Mishnah is talking about the second day of Yontif. Right, if talking about the second day of Yontif, that's right, the Rabbanan. Right, but the first day is a mitzvah daraisa, right? And the rest of it is zeichel mikdash, right? The zeichel, right? And the base of mikdash they took it for 7 days. But for us, yomtov sheni, meaning not necessarily yomtov sheni, but the second day of Sukkot, where it's a din derabanan to take the mitzvah, to take the lulav. So then both mishnayos are talking about a din derabanan. And then you still have a stira, and then you come on to Rav Safra's answer that it depends on what time of day it is. So in Mishnah and Shabbos you still have time, and the Mishnah here, right, you don't have time. And the Gemara says, Dekanami, and it makes a lot of sense to say that our Mishnah is talking about the second day of Yontif. Mitzgatani, Misha Babaderech. Because what's the example the Mishnah gives? It doesn't say someone who didn't take Lulav and Esrog. It says someone who came from a journey, someone who's traveling. If he had a Lulav, he didn't have a Lulav. Who's taking a trip on Yontif Rishon? You can't go on a trip on Yontif Rishon. There's a halach of Tchum. There's a halach of Tchum, you have 2,000 amos. You can't go on a journey, right? A journey implies you a real trip, not down the block to see grandma, right? It's a journey. It seems like you're traveling. You didn't have a lulav. You're going from city to city. You're traveling for a couple of days, whatever it was. That seems to imply outside the tchum. So you can't do that on Yontif Rishon. So the first day is Yontif, right? So it makes a lot of sense that you're talking about a scenario where it wasn't the first day of Yontif. Okay. New Mishnah now, says the Mishnah. Now, once we're talking about Sheikh, again, if you remember the last Mishnah talked about doing the Nanuim, right, so it talked about Hallel, Ana Hashem Oshiyana, right? So that's the last thing the Mishnah said, right? And really, most of the Mishnah talked about when you do shaking, when you do the Nanuim. So now we talk about a little bit more about Hallel. Now, Mishai Ever O Isha O Katan Makrinoso, if a person needed an Eved or an Isha or a Katan to say the Hallel for you. A person, again, back in the day, we take it for granted, Baruch Hashem, we're very Zocha, that we have Sidurim. It's very rare where you'll have someone come into Shul you won't know how to read Hebrew or at least read the English or the transliteration or whatever it is. Most people know Baruch Hashem, know how to say Hallel. Back then, it was not so simple, right? They didn't have necessarily Sidurim to help out either. So sometimes, right, people needed to say it after someone else. So if you have, for whatever reason, a person didn't know how to say the halal, and an Eved or a woman or a katan was saying it for him, ona acharehen masha'ein omrim. Right? He should say afterwards, you should repeat, right, what he says. Right? You should just, the katan will say a few words and you'll say the same words. The katan say more words, you'll say the same words. Right? You should repeat after what he says. V'tavo lo me'ira. And the commissioner says that there should be a curse on this person. Meaning, a person should be learned. A person should learn and teach himself, right, the basics of Judaism. Right, it's not an excuse to be unlearned and not know halacha and not know things. Now, in a chanami, if a person never knew that he should learn, that's called tinuk shenishba. That's a different story. A person didn't even realize there was what to learn. But a person who knows that there's something to learn and just remains unlearned, right? So it's not an excuse to just be ignorant. Okay, im haya gadol in a mikra also. So if a gadol though, let's say a gadol meaning not a big person but like an adult, right? If an adult was saying it for him, so then ona acharav haluka. You can just say afterwards haluka. That's all he needs to say. Makam shenagu lechafel yichvol. And just to clarify, why does it say afterwards haluka? Meaning, if you look at Rashi, ona acharav haluka al kol davar shi omer. V'achi ketani b'sechah. So, one second, hold on. We're going to get to the Shmeika Ona part. Not in this Rashi. Okay, we'll get to it in the Gemara. But basically, we'll see that by Shmeika Ona, you don't necessarily... again, Shmeika Ona is the concept that if you hear someone... It's as if you said it yourself. You hear someone saying a bracha, you hear someone saying halal, and he's having in mind to be motzi you, so it's as if you said it yourself. There's no need to repeat it after him. So that's, okay, fine. That's the difference between a katan and a gadol, because a gadol is motzi you. We'll see there's another halacha that you have to be on the same level of chiyuv. So if a person is a katan, who's only chayiv, let's say, midarabanan in chinuch, and someone who's a gadol, he's an adult, he's chayiv midaraisa, so a katan can't be motzi a gadol. That's why we don't allow katanim to, let's say, necessarily lane. Some people allow them to read the Haftorah, not really. Benching, right? We obviously don't let Ketanim do Brachas HaShachar on Shavuos morning, right? You can't just get a Ketan on everybody. Well, Brachas might be a bad example. But okay, either way, you have to have the same level of Chiyuv. Certainly by benching, right, the Ketan will be there, Rabbanan, and the Gadol will be there, Isa. Okay, either way. Vayter. Makam shenagu lichvol, and a place where the minag is to double some of the psukim and halal, you should. Lifshot yifshot, if it's to be simple, i.e. only say it once, then you should do that. Livarech yivarech, which is a bracha, after halal, this is not the beginning, but after halal, right, that's a whole Yaluka. That's already that you should yivarech. You should say that bracha. Hakol kaminah kamedina. Everything is like the minhag. That bracha, just to be clear, there are certain communities who do not say the bracha afterwards. If I'm not mistaken, Sephardim do not say the bracha afterwards. Ashkenazim do, but everybody says the bracha beforehand, right? Everybody says the bracha at the beginning of Hallel. Okay. Tana Rabbi Wilad Rabbeisa, but Emes Amr really Chazal said that Ben Mevarech La'aviv, that a son can say, this is talking about Berkas Hamazon. Rashi Berkas Hamazon. Really, Birkas Hamazon, Ben Mevarech La'aviv, the Evin Mevarech La'rabo, Vishim Mevarech La'bailo. Really, Midaraisa, right? Again, now here you have a scenario where the person saying the bracha, the Birkas Hamazon, is Chayv Midarabanan, and the adult is Chayv Midaraisa, right? If you look at Rashi, right? Mevarech La'aviv, Birkas Hamazon, Mishagil Echinuch, right? When the son is, when he becomes Yigil Echinuch, 6, 7, 8 years old, the Chayv Midarabanan, he's Chayv Midarabanan. And we learned that he's if one second, right? And okay, I take it back. No, I misspoke. Meaning the case is where it's a derabanan on a derabanan. If you look at Rashi, right, that for whatever reason the adult did not eat enough to be chayiv in Birkas Hamazon midaraisa, but he's only chayiv midarabanan. So both chiyuvim are derabanan. The child on the father, both are derabanan. The eved or his master, the woman for the right, the wife for her husband, both are chayiv in Birkas Hamazon midarabanan. Aval amru chachamim, right? Really, that could work. Meaning, and if both of them are chayiv midarabanan, that's totally fine. That they should be motzi each other. But chachamim say tavo meir la adam sheish derabanav mevarchelo. Chachamim said that a curse should be on a person whose son and wife have to say the brachos for him. It must be because he didn't learn, but it must be that right, he didn't. He decided to stay ignorant, and it didn't. And then the Chazal said it wasn't. It's not appropriate behavior, right? Really, it does work if they're on the same level of chiyuv, but really, it's not right. And so the Gemara says now hilchosa gibarta iko lamashma min minhaga dehelila. Now there are a lot of halachos you can learn from the minhagim of Hallel. So, did I skip Amar Rava? Oh my gosh. So, Amar Rava. Rava says that there are a lot of halachos that you can learn from this, from the minhagim that he had about Hallel. Now, if you'll see in a second, right, the first thing Rashi says is "Mimasha anu roim shenagim akshav b'yamenu b'vadi kinesios." The first Rava, one second. Is it in Tosos that I saw it? Basically, you're going to see, right, Rashi over here goes through some of all these things that Rav is going to quote over here. Some of them we do, and some of them we don't. Some of these minhagim. It's Tosos Hilchasa. If you look at the end of Tosos Hilchasa, what I was going to say is, right, three lines up, in Tosos Hilchasa, Masha'in anu nohagin akshav, lasos kain, mishav de minhaga karele, right, vehechad olanog, lanog. Rav is explaining is that all of these things were the minhagim of the time to say Hallel in this manner, and they learned many things from these minhagim. Now, some of them are going to be familiar, and some of them are not. And that's what Tosfos explains. That is only a minhag. It wasn't really, you know, necessarily something that you have to keep, because the minhag goes according to each place. So Rava had a bunch of the minhagim, and he learned a lot of halachos from these minhagim about how you say Hallel. So who omer haluka? Right, and again, when the chazan says haluka, v'hin omerim haluka, and they say after him, mikan shemitzvah lanos haluka. That's a mitzvah that you should say haluka after the chazan at the beginning of Hallel. Right, obviously we do not do that. Who omer haluav de Hashem? V'hin omerim haluka, mikan. He says the chazan says haluav de Hashem, and everybody else says haluka. Mikan shem hayagadol makaroso ona acharav haluka. Right, from here we see that if someone was saying Hallel for you, you should say after him haluka. Right, again, not really a minhag nowadays. Who omer hodu l'Hashem? V'hin omerim hodu l'Hashem. He would say Yodel Hashem, they say Yodel Hashem, Mikan Shemitzvah Lanas Rosh Prakim. It's a mitzvah to say after the chazan, right, the beginning of the prakim, the first part of the perek. Right, again, that more or less not followed either. Itmar Nami was also said, Amar Avchana Bar Rava, Mitzvah Lanas Rosh Prakim, right, it's also said that that's true as well. We have certain parts where we say afterwards. We don't really say Rosh Prakim. It could be that everybody kind of like sings the part of the chazan, but that's not what it's talking about. And who omer ana Hashem Moshiyana? V'hin omerim ana Hashem Moshiyana. Obviously, we do say that nowadays. We do repeat that. Mikan shem hayakatan makarno. So for him, we learned that if a katan was reading for him, so then onen acher of mashuv omer, right, you should say back to back. You should say not back to back. You should say exactly what the katan said. And this is different because this is right in the middle of the paragraph, not at the beginning of the paragraph. Right, okay, fine, and that's different than what we just said. Hu hai omer ana shem aslichana, v'hin omer ana shem aslichana. Again, we also do this as well. Mikan she'im ba lichvo kofel, that here apparently we learn, I'm not sure why I didn't learn it from ana shem ashiana, but either way, from ana shem aslichana, right, from here, if you want to double the psukim, so then you can double, right, according to the minhag. Hu omer baruch haba, v'hin omer b'shem Hashem, that we don't do, right, mikan lo shomei ka'ona, that teaches me that shomei ka'ona, because again, the people who are saying that after him, right, are saying the next words, right? It doesn't make sense that the people who are relying on the chazan to say hallel for them, right, why are they saying the next words, right? Baruch haba b'shem Hashem, right, implies that they are using the chazan's baruch haba, right, as their own tefillah, meaning that counts. So they only have to start from b'shem Hashem, right? So you see that shomei ka'ona, right, now we're going to jump onto the discussion about that, right? As you see by shomei ka'ona, you don't actually have to say what the person being motzi you is saying. Okay, weiter. Ba'amine Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. They asked Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba the following question. Shama v'lo ana mahu. What's the din? Right, if you heard the let's say the bracha or the tefillah or whatever, but you didn't say it after him, so are you yotzei? Right, this exact question about Shomei Ka'ona. Right? You didn't say the halukas or the amens, or you didn't, or even you didn't say the bracha after. So Amar lo, he said to them, Chakimai v'safrai v'reshi ama. With their Shaya, right? All these Chakimai, the Chacham, right? A smart person. Safrai probably means people who are, it doesn't mean someone, Sifriya nowadays is a library. It does not mean librarians. Pashtasism means people who are teaching kids in school. Reshi Amma, the leaders of the nation. With their Shaya, the people who darshan at the Torah. So Amru, they all said, Shama v'lo ana yatsa. Whoever Shomea, whoever hears, right, someone saying whatever it is, and v'lo ana, but he doesn't answer, so still yotza, he's still yotze. Again, I'm implying that it's as if you said it as well. Itmar Nami was also said, Amar Mishum ben Vazi, Amar Mishum ben Levi, Mishum ben Kapara, Minayin l'shomea ka'ona. How do you know that, again, shomea ka'ona, literally shomea is listening, is like saying, is like answering. Because the pasuk says, what's the pasuk here, a lot of parentheses, Komar Hashem, I'll just quote the whole thing for you. Komar Hashem, Hinni Mevi Ra'al Makom Hazeh Val Yoshvav is called Divrei Asefer Asher Kara Melech Yehuda. Right. Right. So that's what the pasuk says over there. Basically, what's going on over there? So there, by Yoshio, by Yoshio, heard. What's it called? Right, Yoshio over there, they found the Sefer Torah, right, back in the time when Yoshio took over. His father was a big, tremendous Rasha, and Yoshio took over the throne, and he heard the Torah. He said they found the Sefer Torah, I forget exactly where, and it was open to the Tokacha, and basically it threatened exile and all this stuff. And Yoshio went on a whole mission to be Machzir Am Yisrael Tshuva. So basically, the pasuk says that Komar Hashem, Hashem says, "Hinni mevi ra'al ha'makom hazeh ve'shuvav es divrei ha'sefer asher kara melech Yehuda." I'm going to bring about all these bad things upon Am Yisrael, all the things that are written in the sefer that Melech Yehuda, that Yoshio, the king, read. Problem is that Yoshio is not the one who read them. Right? His Shafan, as we'll see in a second, Shafan read them. Shafan was his sofer, I think. Shafan was a sofer? I don't remember. Okay, either way. Maybe Shafan was... Okay, I don't remember. Either way. So, that's the Gemara says. V'chiyoshio Quran? Halo Shafan Quran? I mean, that makes a lot of sense why Shafan could have read them. Right? So, Shafan, meaning if Am Yisrael were in a state of deep decay, and there weren't so many Tamei Chachamim, right? Shafan read it for the king. Right? It says straight up that Shafan read the Sefer Torah in front of the king, and Yoshio got very upset. But the pasuk here above says that Yoshio read it. So, Ela Mikan, Mikan, the Shomea Ka'ona. Apparently, you see that when you hear something, it's as if you read it. It's as if you answered. It's as if you said it yourself. Fidelma Basr the Karinu Shafan Kara Yoshio. The Gemara says, I understand. Why is that a good proof? Right? Maybe Shafan read it to him, and Yoshio was like, oh my gosh, what is that? Let me see that. And then he read it himself. So, Rav Akiva Yaakov lo sakatayta. Rav Akiva says, no, that's not what happened. The Chiv, the pasuk says, Yan Rach Levavcha Vatichna Lefnei Hashem B'Shamacha as at the very ma'ila, meaning that your heart melted and you became humble based on the things that you heard. Right, the bishamacha v'lo b'karacha, but the things that he heard, meaning that Yoshio heard, but not that he read. Meaning the pasuk says afterwards that Yoshio heard them, right, implying that he didn't actually read them himself. Okay, we're going to stop here, but we have a little bit more to talk about on this matter, and then we'll write another mishnah tomorrow as we plow through the third parak. It's a couple more days until we'll start the lulav v'hadas. Lulav v'hadas? Lulav arava. I always forget. Okay. Either way, have a great day or night, depending on where you're listening to this.